Good night. Welcome, one and all, to my faithful listeners. Tonight is the 20th of May, 2020, and yes, you are tuned in to my podcast, Case by Case. You're listening to Attorney at Law, Roxanne Bailey. Thank you all for joining me here tonight. I am grateful that you continue to tune in Wednesdays. And continue to listen and continue to support my podcast. You all keep me going. Tonight, it's all about property rights of spouses. So, you are divorced. What next? And so, we're going to be discussing division of property after divorce or after separation, whatever your situation is. I'm going to be touching on a terminology in law called the equal share rule and division of other properties. So, stay tuned to find out what's all that about. And matrimonial property. So tonight promises to be very, very exciting. A lot of persons have been looking forward to this session, and so I'm here to deliver it to you tonight. All right, so grab your pens, grab your papers, send the link to your friends, followers, whomever you have. All right, case by case, we'll be taking a very, very quick short break, and we'll be back right after this. Hey there, listeners. I just stopped by to let you know that Miss Roxanne Bailey now has a new number for you to get in contact with her. That new number is 876-475-8665. Let me repeat. The number is 876-475-8665. You can still get in contact with Roxanne Bailey by way of her email address, which is roxannebailey22@gmail.com. Remember to continue to like and share this podcast with your family, friends, followers. Share it on your page. Remember that you can also send in voice notes and voice messages right here on the show, and you can even hear them being played on the show. Continue to send in your comments. Continue sending your questions, your commendations. You all keep the show going. Thank you all very much to all, and continue to listen. Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for sticking around. You are tuned in to Case by Case, and you're listening to Attorney at Law, Roxanne Bailey. I am excited for tonight's session, excited for tonight's discussion. You are now divorced. Now what? All right. Now, before I proceed, there are some groundwork that I would like to lay on first before I discuss my main topic, which is the equal share rule and the division of other properties between spouses. And so the main legislation that governs the division of property between spouses is the Property Rights of Spouses Act. Now, the Property Rights of Spouses Act is a 2004 act which came into effect on the 1st of April 2006. And yes, as I said before, it makes provision for the division of property belonging to spouses. Now, who are spouses? Under the act, it goes on to define spouses. Now, section 2, which is the interpretation section of the act, it defines spouses, and if you indulge me, I'm just going to read it for you. It says here that spouse includes a single woman who has cohabited with a single man as if she were in law his wife for a period of not less than 5 years, and a single man who has cohabited with a single woman as if he were in law her husband for a period of not less than 5 years, immediately preceding the institution of proceedings under this act or the termination of cohabitation, as the case maybe. So, and for further clarity, the Act also defines what is cohabit. Cohabit here means to live together in a conjugal relationship outside of marriage, and cohabitation shall be construed accordingly. So, in layman terms, ordinarily, the word spouse is used to define and is understood by all to mean a husband and wife. However, in the Act, it goes further, or it extends the meaning to include a single woman and a single man who has cohabited for a period of not less than 5 years preceding the separation or the divorce. And so the extension of this definition of the extension of this definition of a spouse is therefore significant, because it encompasses common law relationships now. So it no longer is a tunnel vision of a husband and wife in the ordinary sense of the word, but it also encompasses common law relationships, meaning persons who have never been married but they have been together in a committed relationship for, and as the Act says, for a period of at least 5 years. So after a divorce or after separation, a common law spouse, or a spouse in the literal sense of the word, may now apply under the Act for division of property. And so this segues me now into property, because in the division process, there are different types of property. You have matrimonial property, you have what the Act classifies as family home, and you also have separate property. Now let me just define them for you so you understand where I'm coming from. Now, under the Act, and by Act I'm referring to the Property Rights of Spouses Act, it also defines a family home. And please indulge me again while I read what the definition is under the Act. Now, family home means a dwelling home, or the dwelling house rather, that is wholly owned by either or both of the spouses and used habitually or from time to time by the spouses as the only or principal family residence, together with any land, buildings or improvements appurtenant to such dwelling house, and used wholly or mainly for the purposes of the household, but shall not include such a dwelling house which is a gift to one spouse by a donor who intended that spouse alone to benefit. So let me stick a pin. So the definition under the Act is saying a whole lot of stuff. What the definition is doing, it's dividing family home, and it's dividing or creating a distinction between what is a family home under the ambit of property for divorce purposes and division of property purposes. And it's also making a distinction between a dwelling house, which is a gift to one spouse. And so then that leads me into the separation of property. And what I mean by the separation of property is usually that a person has individually and does not share. It's what's called property that a person has individually and does not share during the marriage. So, for example, as the Act says, a dwelling house that was given to one spouse as a gift by the donor, one can therefore classify that as a separate property which was not intended to be part of the marriage. And therefore, one could therefore levy an argument or submission to say that that property should not be divided between the spouses after divorce or after separation, because that was never the intention for that piece of property to be a part of the marriage. All right, so separate property, it can also take into account, as I said before, gifts, which not only means a dwelling house but other gifts, real estate, a business, items acquired during the marriage that is not part of the marriage, and objects or assets gained before the marriage began that did not enter into the relationship. So these items are usually kept separate and remain that way until after the divorce starts. So that's one type of property, the separate property. property. Then you have the matrimonial property, which as the Act defines, for example, the family home. The family home, as defined under the Act, is a home where both spouses habitually cohabit, reside from time to time, and it is known as the family home for the purposes of division of property. All right, so now that I've gotten that out of the way, we're gonna now look at what the Act terms as the equal share rule. And it's very important for the purposes of the division of property, because that is how the court will, from the first standpoint, or from the beginning of division of property, that is how the court will assess division of property. So the first premise is to take it on an equal share rule, right? And then now, the equal share rule now will vary depending on what sort of evidence is brought by either or both spouses to the court. That will now help the court to determine whether both spouses are gonna get the property equally divided or on a different percentage division basis. All right, now before I get into the equal share rule, it would be remiss of me not to further discuss the family home and the entitlement to the family home as part of the marital property. Now, section 6 under the Act, it speaks to the entitlement to family home, and it says here that each spouse shall be entitled to 1/2 share of the family home on the grant of a decree of the dissolution of marriage or termination of cohabitation, on the grant of decree of nullity of marriage, where husband and wife have separated and there's no likelihood of reconciliation. And it goes further to say, except where the family home is held by the spouses as joint tenants, on the termination of marriage or cohabitation caused by death, the surviving spouse shall be entitled to 1/2 share of the family home. So the first premise, therefore, is to look whether the family home holds, whether both spouses holds a family home as joint tenants. Now, where there's joint tenants, then the presumption is therefore equal share, 1/2 percentage, 50-50. You take it 50-50. But there are circumstances where, as I said before, this rule can vary. And so that is what's called the equal share rule, or the 50-50 rule, for layman persons. So the Act introduces the equal share rule, which is a presumption that each spouse is entitled to 1/2 share of the family home, as I had said before, on the grant of a divorce, termination of cohabitation, grant of decree of nullity, whatever the case may be, or where there's separation and there's no likelihood of reconciliation, whatever the case may be. Those are the cases that the Act outlines. So once there's the occurrence of any of those circumstances, the automatic presumption is that each spouse or each person, a single man and single woman, is automatically presumed to be entitled to 50% or 1/2 share of the family home. All right? But I must emphasize that the equal share rule is only a presumption, and as you will understand further down, that presumptions can be rebutted. And so that is why the Act now allows for the power of the court to vary the equal share rule where there is evidence to the contrary to that presumption. All right? So, and that is covered under Section 7 of the Act, where it gives the court the power to vary the equal share rule if it is of the opinion that it would be unreasonable or unjust for each spouse to be entitled to 1/2 of the family home. Because, you know, you're in some situations where you put up majority of the money to buy the family home, or it's a situation where, and I've heard it a lot of times from listeners, where they are the sole contributor for the house, or it's a situation where the the agreement was that one spouse would solely contribute to the development of the house and the other would contribute to the furnishing of the house. So what do you do in those situations? What kind of evidence do you put before the court now that will enable the court in its inherent jurisdiction now to vary the order of the equal share rule, to vary rather the presumption of the equal share rule? Those are things that you have to take into consideration, and those are things that you will have to discuss further in detail with your divorce lawyer. So as I always encourage my listeners, it's always important that you get and you retain the services of an attorney, a competent divorce attorney at law, who can help you to traverse the waters of divorce and division of property after divorce has been made. All right, now let's continue. Now, spouses, it's also important to note that spouses also have a right to apply to the court during the substance of the marriage, meaning that the marriage is still ongoing, there was no divorce, or the relationship is still ongoing. So you can apply to the court during the subsistence of the marriage or during the subsistence of the relationship whenever a dispute arises over property owned by either both of the spouses or the single woman and single man, as the act defines it. And the court can, if necessary, order that the property be sold. Now, again, you can also discuss this with your attorneys. So you don't have to wait until a divorce is imminent or a divorce is ongoing. The act provides for a spouse to petition the court where dispute arises over property, so you can also bear that in mind. And also, where one spouse is endangering the property or diminishing the value of the property, that's also a good ground to apply to the court for the court now to make a determination as to the property being sold and each spouse getting their share of the property. And remember that you don't have to wait until divorce or wait until there's no longer a relationship or cohabitation has ended and there's no form of reconciliation. You can weigh your options from now once you're still in the marriage or once you're still in the relationship. All right, so bear those things in mind. Another thing that I also want my listeners to be aware of is that, remember when I was talking about the distinction between separate property and marital properties, the family home is one such form of marital property. All right, but listen here, the court is empowered not only to make an order dividing the family home, but under the act, the court is also empowered to divide other properties other than the family home belonging to the parties. So remember earlier when I spoke about the equal share rule and the division of other properties. Now, those other properties can be anything, and it can fall under that remit. And so now you can apply also for a division of those properties. You can apply to the court for division of those properties as well. So I've seen cases where clients want the court to decide whether they should get a TV, whether they should get a furniture, whether they should get furnishings, whether they should get a bank account, whether they are entitled to businesses. So the situation not only covers the family home, but it goes beyond that. So you'd also want to bear those things in mind. So what does that mean, therefore? That the equal share rule is not automatic. As I said before, it is just a presumption. So, no property is outside of the court's reach. So, we're talking about family home, which is marital home. We're talking about other properties, or what the act defines as other properties, which include bank accounts, furniture, even down to the spoons, the chandelier. So, there's no property that was acquired between the spouses that is outside of the court's reach when we're talking about division of property. However, you need to bear in mind though that when we're talking about commercial property, business stocks and shares, the equal share rule does not automatically apply in those situations. So once again, that's something that you need to discuss with your divorce attorney. When you want to pursue those other properties, which include shares and stocks and commercial properties and businesses, the automatic rule of the equal share rule does not apply. So you'd want now to find as much evidence as you can to put before the court to show your contribution, because the court will also take into account your contributions in relation to the acquisitions of these other quote-unquote other properties other than the family home. All right, so one of the easiest ways, therefore, in relation to family home for a court to adjudicate and by further extension to apply the equal share rule is where the property is in the name of both spouses as joint tenants, because automatically there's a presumption of wholeness, you know. So that's one of the ways to circumvent that. Also, another one of the ways to circumvent division of properties is to make an agreement before divorce, so the parties can come together and agree what percentage each party would want to take or would want to have or would want to give the other spouse. So it divorce and division of property doesn't necessarily have to include the courts per se, because I believe that the courts would be very, very pleased when two divorcees or two separated common law spouses can come together and make an agreement in relation to division of property, who takes what, who goes away with what, who gives who what. All right, so those are the things that you'd want to take into consideration. So let me just reiterate that when it comes down to quote unquote other properties, the equal share rule or the equal share presumption does not automatically apply. So you have to ensure that if you are staking a claim in a share of stocks and bonds and shares and commercial properties or whatever the case may be, you are then now, the onus is then now on the person who is alleging that they have or they're staking a claim in those properties. They have to produce evidence to the court of their contribution, as I said already, what their contributions were in the making or the acquisition of the property, so that the court now can determine the shares, if any, to which the party is entitled. All right, so I've just summed up everything that I've said before in that one sentence. I really trust that you are enjoying the show so far. I'm gonna take a quick break and allow you to process what I've said so far, and when I come back now, I will continue to talk about the equal share rule, the presumption, and what it means for other properties in the division of property stage after a divorce. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. Case by case, we'll be right back. Dear listeners, great news. Case by Case has now increased its listenership to include Ireland and the Caribbean, that is the Bahamas. Thank you so much to all my faithful listeners. Thank you for those who like and share my podcast every week. I am in your debt. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I really want to take Case by Case near and far. So continue to like, continue to share, continue to post, continue to send in your emails, your WhatsApp texts, your calls. I am grateful to all my listeners. And I want to continue to provide the general and the legal information to all my listeners out there. You keep me going. Remember to contact Roxanne Bailey, attorney at law, at the new number 876-475-8665, or my email address, which is roxannebailey22@gmail.com, or you can send in voice notes, right here on my podcast, and I can even play them on the show. I am so grateful to my faithful listeners. Thank you all so very much. Continue to stay tuned. Welcome back, listeners. Trust that you have enjoyed the show so far, that you have found root in the information that I've given so far. And the purpose of this last session is just to quickly recap all that I've discussed, just to ensure that it ferments in your mind and that you now have a good basis now when you're discussing your different situations with your unique or your individual divorce attorneys. So remember that, I had said that the division of property takes effect once there is a grant of decree of dissolution of marriage or termination of cohabitation, where there's a decree of nullity of the marriage, where the husband and wife have separated and there's no likelihood of reconciliation, and even where one spouse is endangering the property or seriously diminishing the value by gross mismanagement or willful or reckless dissipation of the property or earnings. So in any one of those circumstances, the spouse can apply to the court for division of property. Remember that I've said all of that. Now, where it relates to division of property, you have to remember, or you have to know, that the application under any of the situations where there is some separation or where there is the divorce and there's no likelihood of reconciliation, where there's either of those situations or the nullity of the marriage. So where there's a nullity of the marriage, where cohabitation has ended and there's no likelihood of reconciliation, where there's a divorce, any one of those situations, you have to apply within 12 months or 1 year after that situation has occurred. So, for example, you have to apply within 1 year after you have gotten divorced. You have to apply within 1 year after termination of your cohabitation or separation between the spouses or annulment of the marriage or whatever. You have to apply within 1 year or 12 months after that occurrence. Or otherwise, you would have to apply to the court to allow for you, depending on your situation, whether where the 1 year has passed, you'd have to apply to the court for that longer period and explain to the court why it was that you had not applied within the 12 month or the 1 year period. But it's important that you know that within 12 months or 1 year after that occurrence, you have to make your application for division of property. And remember, as I said before, division of property under the act encompasses the family home or the marital home. And it also encompasses the division of other properties, which is not just the family home. So it takes into consideration other properties that was acquired and other assets. Because property, when I say property, persons might misconstrue to only mean land or something of the sort. But other properties include any other assets that was acquired between the parties during the marriage or during the period of cohabitation between the parties. You can apply and stake a claim for an interest in division of those properties, where you can provide the court with evidence. And remember, where it comes to division of those other properties other than the family home, then the equal share rule does not apply, meaning that you are not automatically guaranteed and are automatically granted a presumption of a 50-50% share of that property. But based on the evidence that you adduce to the court, then the court will now use that evidence to determine what your contribution is and what percentage or interest you will have, if at all, within those other properties. It is also important to note that the act also takes into consideration prenuptial agreements and also postnuptial agreements and settlement agreements, which I had also hinted on before the break. So prenuptial agreements, this is made by persons who are contemplating marriage or contemplating cohabitation. So a prenuptial agreement does not have to necessitate you being married, but just cohabitating and taking that person to be your lifelong partners. Because we are living in a different era where marriage is not only the first institution, but there's no recognized common law relationships and cohabitation, which does not necessarily mean that you have to put a ring on somebody's finger or have a paper to say that you are married. So it takes into consideration those other circumstances. And so a prenuptial agreement, when it contemplates that sort of marriage or that sort of cohabitation or arrangement, the persons can take that into consideration. And so the act also recognizes those agreements, and the act also makes it clear that it can and will enforce that prenuptial agreement or that prenuptial arrangement, as long as the guidelines under the act is followed. And the prenuptial agreement aspect, or agreements rather, is contemplated under section, I believe it is 10, section 10 of the act. So it contemplates agreement in respect to property, and it sets it out all nicely there. Let me just read the first subsection for you. That's section 10, subsection A. It says, spouses or two persons in contemplation of their marriage to each other or of cohabitating may, for the purpose of contracting out of the provisions of this act, make such agreement with respect to the ownership and division of their property, including future property, as they think fit. And it goes on to talk about the different aspects and different arrangements and the different criterias and things that the court will look at when they are contemplating the agreement. But just to discuss a few, it said every agreement made in pursuant to subsection 1 shall be in writing, signed by both parties, whose signatures shall, if signed in Jamaica, be witnessed by a justice of the peace or an attorney at law; if signed in a country or state other than Jamaica, be witnessed by a person having authority by the law of such country or state to administer an oath in that country or state, or a Jamaican or British High Commissioner or ambassador, as the case may be. So it basically sets out what the prenuptial agreement, how it should be. Those are some of the guidelines. So as long as the prenuptial agreement follows those guidelines, then the court under the act will enforce those agreements, as long as it follows the guidelines. So just to be sure that you understand how important agreements are, how important arrangements are, and so you'll now understand why some persons who are contemplating marriage, why they do prenuptial agreements before they get married, because they want to avoid certain things. Because once a person gets divorced, you can never tell how their personality will change. So to circumvent all of that, they do a prenuptial agreement. Some persons might say, might have bad things to say about prenuptial agreement, but it's all based on the parties, their intentions, and their agreement to do it. So that is one aspect that those persons who are contemplating getting married, contemplating going into a long-term relationship, a long-term cohabitation, long-term arrangement, you might want to contemplate those forms of agreement, so that when the separation, when the divorce ends, when the marriage ends, then you would have already had that agreement in place, so that it's a smoother process, more than now having to apply to the court, for the court now to weigh in on, based on your evidence, what you bring to the court, to now weigh in on what percentage you ought to get or you should get after the divorce. So I am glad that we have had this session. Division of property after divorce, after separation, it's very important that you pay attention during the marriage to those things that you want to ensure that are kept separate from the marriage whilst you are in a marriage. So that's sometimes persons might have separate bank accounts, and you might wonder why. But there are some situations where persons really want to keep some of their properties and their assets separate, so that if the situation arises where they have to get a divorce, then all their assets will not be laid now on the table for the court or whomever to decide what percentage the other spouse will have to get out of it. So you want to take into consideration some of these things before you jump into marriage, before you jump into some arrangement or some agreement with another person, because at the end of the day, there is a presumption of equality when it comes to the family home. So even if one spouse's name is on the title alone, the other spouse can produce evidence to say that, yes, I did contribute to the acquisition of this property, despite the fact that only my husband or only my wife's name is on the property. Whereas the wife or the husband, in his or her defense, can say, well, this property was given to me by way of a gift, you know. So those are some of the things that you want to consider, because I've seen situations where seeking division of properties after divorce has become very contentious and very nasty. So you want to ensure that you put certain things in place so as to limit your exposure to these unfortunate circumstances. All right, so that is all from me tonight. I trust that you enjoy the podcast, trust that you enjoy the show tonight. Remember to like and share the podcast. Remember to continue to send in your comments, your voice notes, your questions. I look forward to listening, to reading them, and to discussing with you, my faithful listeners, each and every Wednesday. Although sometimes I don't come on the air on some Wednesdays, and I apologize for that, but I continue to thrive in your faithfulness and your loyalty to the show, and I just want to continue to provide the legal information that you all seek from me. And so until next time, I'm tuning out. This is Attorney at Law, Roxanne Bailey. Bye.